ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सेनायोर् अर्जुनवाच सेनायोर् उभयोर् मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे अच्युत यावत् एतान् निरीक्षे अहं योधु कामान् अवस्थितान् कैर्मया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणा समुद्यमे। अर्जुनवाच सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे च्युत रथं स्थापय मे च्युत यावतेतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामन् अवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। अर्जुनवाच सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे च्युत यावदेतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। अर्जुनवाच सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये यावदेतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे च्युत यावदेतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। अर्जुनवाच सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे च्युत यावत् एतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। सेनायोरुभयोर्मध्ये रथं स्थापय मे च्युत यावत् एतान् निरीक्षेऽहम् योधुकामानवस्थितान् कैर्माया सह योधव्यम् अस्मिन् रणसमुद्यमे। अर्जुनवाच अर्जुनसैत् Senayo of the armies. Ubayo both. Madye between. Ratham the chariot. Stapaya, please keep. May my Achyuta, O infallible one. Yavat, as long as Etan, all these Nirikshe, may look upon. Aham, I. Yotu Kaman, desiring to fight. Avastitan, arrayed on the battlefield. Kai, with whom? Maya, by me. Saha, together. Yodhavyam, have to fight. Asmin, in this. Rana, strife. Samudyame, in the attempt. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible, or Achyuta. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesh, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord. And similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuring the advantages. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him that he does in being the giver of orders. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders, and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that the pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is the infallible master in all circumstances. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come under the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading persons present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of a peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. Arjuna Vacha. Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratham Stapaya Mechuta Yavadetan Yariksheham Yodhu Kaman Avastitan Kermaya Saha Yodhavyam Asmin Rana Samudyame. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please throw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Om Agyati Maranyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya mano bhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tatati svapadantikam. Mande si Krishna Chaitanya nityananda sahoditao gaudataya pushpavanto chitta shando tamonadao. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankumlangayati Karim Yat Kripatam Mahambande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Arjuna, he addressed Krishna here as infallible, Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible, because the Lord is infallible, he doesn't make any mistake. In general, he doesn't make any mistake because he's always perfect in his endeavors, in his plans, in his personality, in his conviction and his activities. Achyuta, also infallible, here in this verse, indicates that the Lord is also infallible in his vow. In his vow and of affection to his devotees for their protection. Therefore, he is also known as Achyuta, because he never breaks the vow to protect his devotee, to fulfill his devotee's desires and plans, especially if they are in harmony, in yoga, in harmony with him. Yoga means in harmony with God, with Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He is that Lord. Arjuna is his very good friend, his devotee, his faithful bhakta. And so naturally, Krishna had, and Arjuna had a mutual affection towards each other, of friendship, very deep friendship and trust. Krishna had trust in Arjuna, and Arjuna had very much trust in his friend Krishna. This is the wonderful process of bhakti. Yeah? In the bhakti process, this exchange between the Lord and his devotee is very sweet, as Prabhupada is pointing out. It's very sweet, this exchange. It's not just awe and reverence. Like, for example, when Arjuna sometimes has this glimpse of Krishna that he is the universal form, and he shows his 1,000 faces with his thousands of arms, appearing very ferocious. Then he becomes awestruck. He becomes overwhelmed by awe and reverence. But Arjuna doesn't like actually this idea that his very dear friend either has four arms or two arms in Dwaraka, respectively in Dwaraka or also in Vrindavan. Vrindavan only has two. In Dwaraka he has sometimes four and sometimes two. According to the realization and the relationship with Krishna with his eternal associates. So a pure devotee who has a very friendly relationship with Krishna, he never likes to see his friend in such a very ferocious, horrible fearful aspect, like the universal form, the Virat Rupa. So he became very confused. He offered many prayers in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter. There's the universal form. The prayers are there, you know. So many prayers he offered to the Lord. And he requests the Lord ultimately that he reveals himself again in his sweet form. How the devotees like him. In his sweet form, either with four arms or with two arms. So that he can relate him not with fear and with stiffness and with awe and reverence. He wants to speak with him and see him on a friendly platform. So friends, they have common ideas, common nature, common qualities. This is called svachatiya. And the friends who have similar interests, similar nature, they're very rare, these kind of friends. One has maybe one, two, if you're lucky. It's not that everyone who seems to be our friend is really friends. So it's hard friends. Svachatiya, who has similar nature, who understands your nature, your psychology, and takes you as you are, without fear, without awe and reverence, without fear. What will the person, how he will look at me? He takes me as I am, and I take him as he is. This is a real friendship on the same platform. And Arjuna, he had this, although there was a touch of awe and reverence, he also had this friendly relationship on equal platform. Later on, he remembered that. As he was saying, I remember that he asked Krishna please excuse me that I addressed you sometimes as Yadu, as my dear friend. How truthful you are today, speaking the truth to me, actually not the truth. And we're sitting on the same bench together, in the same bed, eating from the same plate. We were fighting together. Sometimes I defeated you, and sometimes you defeated me. So these thoughts, Arjuna, he remembered. But when he is overcome by awe and reverence, he considers this an offense. Oh, sorry, my dear Lord, that I sit with you on the same bench and eating from your same plate, drinking from your own water cup. And joking with you in jest, you know, and even playing and sometimes defeating you. I'm sorry about that. Because that's not fitting in that rasa. But Krishna also doesn't reciprocate. So he doesn't like this idea that he is God, that he is acute, infallible, all-powerful, nobody is equal to him, greater than him. He doesn't like this idea so much, this position of God. Therefore, he is playing the role of ordinary friend, or like a perfect son, or perfect lover, subordinating himself to the rasa, to the bhakti rasa of his devotee. That's the statement in the Gita later on in the fourth chapter, text 11. Yetamam prabhatyante tamstathaiva bhajamiham mama vartante manushya partha sarvasa. I reveal myself accordingly how someone wishes to see me. So in that way, Krishna reveals himself. So although his absolute supreme position of the Lord, unrefutable, unchangeable, nobody can challenge him. He's the Deva. He's the Lord of all Lords. Still, the Lord appreciates this mood of Bhakta Vatsalya. Bhakta Vatsalya means he who is very sympathetic, very friendly to his devotee. Bhakta means devotee. Vatsa means the chest. And la means to attract. Bhakta Vatsalya means he who attracts his devotees to his chest. He embraces him. He protects him with his mighty arms. Krishna's arms are very strong. But he also Krishna, he tells Arjuna, your arms are also very strong. Mahabaho. So many times Krishna addresses Arjuna as Mahabaho, very strong armed. Krishna has very strong arms. Arjuna also has very strong arms. But now in this position, in the beginning of the battle, Arjuna seems to be already have a little doubt about his mission. It seems to be that he was not completely focused properly, like a camera, you know, has to be properly focused, otherwise no perfect picture, right? So one has to be properly focused, and Krishna had that in plan. He is the super soul in everyone's heart, also in his, especially in his devotee's heart. And therefore, Krishna understood, oh my friend Arjuna, he is gradually coming to the point of doubt. He's not ready to fight because Krishna he agreed to be Arjuna's charioteer. He told, I will not fight. I will not take any side of the armies, but I'm ready to be your charioteer, Sarathi. So Sarathi is in lower position. The charioteer of the archer or of the warrior, of the hero, is in lower position. He's a servant. That means he has to follow the direction given by his servant. That means he has to take an inferior position. And that only Krishna, he is accepting this inferior position. Not out of duty, not because of a salary, I get some good payment to become the chauffeur or the charioteer of somebody. No, it's because of the affection. Krishna is nobody's servant. He's a supreme Lord, the supreme enjoyer. Everyone else is his servant. Ekaleshvara Krishna Arasabhapritya. There's only one Krishna, supreme Lord, the supreme enjoyer, Pura Lila Purushottama. And everyone else is his servant. To imply our activities, our seva, our words, our body, our activities, our possessions in the service of the Lord. This is seva. What the Lord appreciates. So this kind of service, Krishna in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated, if somebody looks upon me that I'm God, that I'm the order supplier, the wish fulfiller of everyone, I'm not so much pleased. I'm not so much happy. In the third chapter of Adi Lila, there's an esoteric analog with Krishna himself. Like Krishna, when he left from this world to go to Goloka, he thought, actually this aspect that everyone glorifies me as God, seeing me superior and himself inferior, is not so much relished by me. It's not so much pleasing for me. Actually, I'm more pleased if somebody is seeing me inferior and he as superior. But how is this possible? In Vaikuntha, not possible. In Goloka, or in Krishna Lila, it is possible, especially when Krishna comes to this material world. He doesn't come alone, he comes with his devotee, group, Ranga, like is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya descends to this material world, he takes his Ranga with him. That means his circle, a very intimate circle of bhaktas, devotees or associates. And only with them he is relishing bhakti. Only with them he is distributing this bhakti, this love to Krishna. Because he is never alone, so he is always doing everything with the devotees together. So Krishna, therefore, he decided, because I appreciate so much if somebody rebukes me, that he chastises me, like mother chastises me. Sometimes she binds me in the Damodar Leela because I did some naughty thing. So she binds me up on the mortar. My friends, they challenge me what kind of a great hero are. Today I will defeat you, like Sri Dama, for example, very dear Priyasaka of Krishna. He challenges Krishna, you know, for a fight. It's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Sri Dama Gopa is challenging his dear friend Krishna, Madhava, for a fight. And sometimes he defeats him, sometimes Krishna defeats him. So Krishna relishes very much this fighting spirit, this wrestling. Vaikunthanath also has sometimes his desire, but he has to come to the material world for that, and somebody of his devotees has to become a demon, empowered, that he can fight. But Krishna, only in mock fighting, is relishing this eternal lila in here in Vrindavan with his friends, with his associates, and with the gopis also. Sometimes he takes inferior position. They chastise him, Radharani and some of her very dear friends. They chastise Krishna for not be punctual in the meeting, not coming on the right time. So this kind of relationship Krishna likes very much. This is actually his life and soul. But Krishna thinks, I gave this opportunity to very few ones in Vrindavan, in Braj. Outside of Braj, actually nobody knows about this sweetness of Braja Bhakti, of this Vrindavan Bhakti, of my associates here in Vrindavan. The gopis and the gopas and the mothers and fathers, and even the servants, they have a very sweet, intimate relationship with Krishna. And Krishna enjoys very much, even higher, this position to be dependent on his devotee than the devotee is dependent on him. Because that's just anyway like that. The devotee is always dependent on Krishna. This is already clear. But the God becomes dependent on his devotee is not so always clear. It's not known in the world. And therefore, Krishna, he decided to come again. And in this time, I will not come as Bhagavan, not with as Ishvara. I will not come with weapons, with 4 arms or 10 arms or 8 arms or as universal form. But I come as a bhakta. I will come as a devotee. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, I will relish all these bhakti-ras of Vrindavan. Of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. All these main rasas of Vrindavan, I will relish on my own and with my bhaktas, with my devotees together. This is my desire. And therefore, actually, the Lord Krishna appeared again as Lord Chaitanya to fulfill this very inner desire revealing to the world, not only here in Vrindavan, but to the whole world, this intimate relation of his devotees towards the Lord, where the Lord actually accepts an inferior position of bhakta, out of bhakta vatsalya, out of his kindness and very deep affection towards his devotee. So the, and the, actually from all the qualities, this Bhakta-Vatsalya of Krishna, this quality is considered the most appreciated and the supreme of all the qualities of the Lord. Lord is a reservoir of qualities, an ocean of qualities, but Bhakta-Vatsalya, this is very, very great. Because he always shows his deep, great affection towards his devotees. Why? Because he wants to show to the world how great my devotee is. My devotee is greater than me. Although Arjuna here in the beginning, he had maybe internally a little doubt, and he asked Krishna, please help me, guide me between the two armies. There were one side, two face towards each other, two fronts of soldiers, great heroes, all Maharatis, great warriors. Please drive the chariot between these two parties. So Acharyas, like Baladev Vidyabhushana, he paraphrases this dialogue and he says, Krishna tells to Arjuna, why you want to see both sides of this, why you want to see the army? No, this is not a showcase. It's not a time now to watch what kind of army is there. The armies in many countries, you know, they have these defilés. I think it's called defilé, where they show all their arms, you know, their weapons, their tanks, their big bombs, and all the armies, all the soldiers there, you know, and all the generals in front. And they make a show. They're assimilating together on a big square, and they present themselves, you know. And everything looks very fascinating, very emotional, you know. It's very perfect performance. Because they do this mostly for a dictator or for a big president, powerful president. They're showing this kind of presentation, and it's broadcasted all over the world, that everyone knows, you know, what kind of great army we have together here. So be careful if you want to attack us, you know, we are ready. We are organized. So, in the same way, Krishna actually rebukes, with a needle. He tells to Arjuna, it's not a showcase now. It's not a defile time now. This one can do before, but not now, just 5 minutes before the war. There's no more time for watching. Otherwise, what do you want to watch? Arjuna may say, I want to see against whom I will fight. Oh, Krishna says, but it's already clear against whom you fight. It will be Duryodhana and company. Everyone is on his side. And Bhishma is there. All Duryodhana's brothers are there. 99. Only one joined Arjuna's or Pandava's side. There were Dronacharya. So Arjuna actually already knew. Ashwatthama. He knew already who will be on the other side. What will be the, who are the enemies confronting him? Actually, Arjuna, he didn't want, and the Pandavas, and even Krishna himself, he didn't want the war. Krishna even he agreed to become the peace messenger for the Pandavas, to go to Duryodhana to make peace. Give them 5 villages at least, that they can rule the 5 villages, because they're Kshatriya, that's their right. But Duryodhana was not ready to give them anything. So therefore, from that time, the war was unavoidable. Duryodhana was non-devotee. He had no respect towards Krishna. He was envious on the Krishna's devotees, the Vaishnavas, the Pandavas. Even when Krishna showed him universal form, Virat Rupa, a little one, he didn't give any respect. He even wanted to challenge Krishna and put him in prison. But who can put Krishna in prison? Not possible. Especially if you're not a devotee of him. Krishna never subordinates himself to a demon. He only subordinates himself to a devotee who is very dear to him, who has a loving exchange, who are in prema with each other, with love and affection. Because only that conquers Krishna. Only that is attracting Krishna. This bhakti, ekanta bhakti, this is attracting Krishna. So therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, actually, you know who is there. So it's not a time to visualize them, to see, look at them, to get a darshan. Actually, this chapter is called, first chapter is called, in Sanskrit, it's the observing the army, Shainyu Darshan. Shainya Darshan. So this is Shainya Darshan Yoga. That means Arjuna wants to observe the armies. That's the title of this chapter. That means Arjuna wants to see against whom he will fight. And when he sees it against whom he will fight, because he already had a doubt in the heart, he showed some weakness in the heart. So when he saw all these warriors arrayed in front of him, who were his superiors, Guru Varg, his teachers, his grandsire, like Bhishma Dev, his teacher like Drona, and Kripacharya, his very dear friends and brothers, like that, and many great heroes, great kings, were very aristocratic, very honorable. When he saw that, then he became weak. I cannot fight. Actually, the first purpose was, I want to see what kind of heroes are there. Because a kshatriya doesn't like to fight with somebody who is weaker than him. They should be at least equal or more strong than him. Only then it is worthy or glorious to fight. He doesn't want to fight with somebody inferior to him. So he doesn't want to show his greatness before somebody who maybe is a renegade, who runs away out of fear on the battlefield when they see Arjuna and all his army. So he knew the ethic of war, of battle. So he would never fight against somebody inferior. So he wants to see what kind of challenge is waiting for him, if it is worth to fight. And then he became overpowered by the weakness of doubt. And then he ultimately refused to fight. And that gave Krishna the opportunity to speak Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is in the same time, he's always infallible. Achyuta, that means he's always perfect up in his position. He never becomes weak. He never has a doubt about the duty and about the situation where he's in. He knows everything perfectly in time, place, and circumstances from the past, in the present, and the future. He's all-knowable. And he always can properly see and decide for the right thing, for the benefit of everyone. So therefore Krishna never changes his opinion, he never changes his position. Although he's Bhakta Vatsalya, he becomes the devotee's dear friend, or sometimes he become their servants, messenger, like that, order supplier. This position he accepts as a rasa, but So, but simultaneously, always maintains his role or his position of God as the Ishvara, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the same time, he has this very sweet, affectionate relationship with his devotees. And if his devotee comes in difficulty, in doubt, he overcome by weakness, then the Lord will accept his position as Guru, as Universal Guru, Jagat Guru, and will teach him, give him proper intelligence in which way to act, and gives him in this way the strength that his mission and his service to the Lord is never broken, is never dovetailed or destroyed. That he always can act for the pleasure of the Lord. So, therefore, as I already pointed out, whenever Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. He brings his devotees to fulfill his mission. Although he can do everything himself, his kala, his time, he's all-powerful in his decision, in his plan. But he wants that his devotees act to make them glorious, to fulfill the mission what the Lord wanted to fulfill and to execute. So he acts through his devotees. He empowers them so that they can become similar, powerful like him, or even sometimes become more powerful than him because of his mercy, so that they can become very glorious. And then, and if the devotees become glorious because of their devotion to the Lord, then the Lord becomes very happy. So that's why also Lord Chaitanya, he descended to this world. He wanted to descend, Krishna wanted to descend as Lord Chaitanya to this world, and he sent his superiors ahead. And like his Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri, his personal Guru, Ishvara Puri, his mother, Sachi Mata, his father, Jagannath Mishra, then also his Advaita Acharya, who was praying, was calling, worshipping him, calling him to come down. Srivas Thakur, and so many others, that descended before Lord Chaitanya to this world to prepare, set the scene for Lord Chaitanya's appearance and to assist him in his mission to spread the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna all over the world. Previously, Krishna Balaram appeared to fulfill the mission to deliver the world from demoniac war powers, and to protect the devotees and to establish religious principles. And in this same age, in the Kali Yuga, in this age after the Dwapara Yuga, after Krishna Balaram appeared, the same Krishna Balaram appeared again, but this time they came as devotee, as Gornitai, Goranga Nityananda, with the same mission, to destroy demoniac power, demoniac influence, establish a Yuga Dharma, religious principles, and to protect the devotees. So he came. But this time his weapon were not a weapon to kill, but a weapon of Harinam. The weapon of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The weapon of his devotees, who were all his expansions or personal associates. Only with them he appeared. And in this way remove the darkness of Kali Yuga gradually more and more. Like when the sun rises, the darkness disappears. So similarly, when Krishna and Balaram, as Lord Chaitanya Nityananda appeared with all their associates chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, all the darkness of Kali Yuga gradually becomes more and more removed. And it's the only alternative. Nastieva, nastieva, nastieva gatiranyataha in the age of Kali. And for Kali Yuga is very much afraid. He's very much afraid of the Sankhita movement. He's not afraid of anything else. Anything, because anything else he has already under control. Because money, gold, money is under control of Kali, and that is that. And everyone is very much attached to gold and money in this world, because gold, money, and gold is power. They can influence the whole world, all wars and all problems, and crises, and difficulties in this world is actually taken place because of this money. Money is Kali, Kali Chela. It's Kali's energy. Actually, it's God's energy, but Kali is taking it for his purpose. And everyone who becomes addicted to this kind of money, gold and money, becomes a chela, that means a servant of Kali, a slave of Kali. Instead to become servant of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, serving them in the Sankhita movement, we become slave and servants of Kali, because we have become very much attached to money and gold, to take this as much as we can, because in this way we can control, we can enjoy. And that is our tendency, why we are in this material world, because we want to have these two things, to enjoy and to control. First you want to enjoy, and later on you like to control. And for that they work very hard to accumulate more and more money, 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 money. And as Prahlad says, money seems to be sweeter than honey, but actually it's only yellow stool, this gold. It's not attractive for the devotees, because the devotees are attracted to the golden color of Lord Chaitanya. Goranga! Goranga! Nityananda! Only by this Goranga Nam and Goranga Nam. If we become attracted to Goranga, we lose attraction to anything else glittering and golden in this material world. It's not attractive anymore. Lord Krishna is most attractive, but more attractive than Lord Krishna is Radharani. She has golden color, Gorangi. And when Krishna and Radha, blackish color and white color come together, and Krishna's inner color, blackish, becomes predominated by the golden color of Radharani, this duty of Radharani, then that is most attractive. Krishna is attractive, most attractive. Radharani is more attractive, but she can attract Krishna, who is attracting everyone in this world. Therefore, she is the most attractive. And when Radha and Krishna come together, that means Lord Chaitanya becomes the most attractive. More attractive than Radha and Krishna is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because it's Radha and Krishna combined in one form. To spread the Sankirtan movement, to chant the holy name, with the inner feeling of Bhakti Rasa of Vrindavan, of Radha Krishna, with their eternal associates, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. They are spreading this holy name together, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and their associates, and making this way the whole world happy and drowning in the premaras of Krishna Bhakti. So that's why Lord Chaitanya and his associates descend. And today is Shripad Ishwarapuri, Puripad, sometimes called Puripad, Ishvara Puripad, Disappearance Day. So he's the Guru of Jagat Guru, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How is it possible? How can the Supreme Lord have a Guru? Yes, because he wants to show that the whole world needs Guru. Without Guru, you cannot be successful. Nowadays in India, so many self-established gurus, you know. without showing that they have guru. They come directly empowered by something higher, self-enlightened. But Lord Chaitanya, he shows, you know, that especially also in the Kali Yuga, this is not working, it's only cheating. The self-known, self-empowered gurus or empowered from above without any disciplic succession. They're bogus. They're Kali Chela. So they're rejected by Lord Chaitanya and by all the Sampradayas. The four Sampradayas, Shri Brahma, Rudra, and Kumara. These four Sampradayas, they never accept this kind of bogus gurus. Only the guru who comes in bona fide disciplic succession, parampara. Krishna himself, he says, only by parampara this knowledge, what I'm teaching here in the Bhagavad Gita, is disseminated or descended to this material world. It is not self-enlightened within the heart from somewhere, from nothingness. It comes always from a superior person. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted superior persons, like his mothers and fathers. Guru, Param Guru, Advaita Acharya, he addressed him as Nada. Nada means very senior, very superior personality. Nada is calling me. And Advaita Acharya, although Advaita Acharya always saw Lord Chaitanya, he considered himself servant of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya always wanted to address Advaita Acharya as senior, as superior. But Advaita Acharya didn't like that. Therefore he wanted to make a trick one time. He made a trick. He knew how to trick Lord Chaitanya. He knows the weak point of Lord Chaitanya. So he teach to, because Advaita Acharya had a school where many devotees or personalities who want to learn Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam could come and he would teach them, the Acharya, Advaita. He's not different from Krishna. Therefore his name is Advaita. So he had this very school where many devotees came to learn from him Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But one time Advaita thought, Mahaprabhu always addresses me as superior. And he bows down to me and offers his pranam to me. I don't like that. I actually am his servant. Not that he wants to be my servant. But Lord Chaitanya enjoys this very much, like Krishna also. He enjoys that his devotee becomes superior to him, that he offers respect to them, he glorifies them. And sometimes he has like 10 mouths, you know, 5 or 10 or thousands of mouths when he glorifies certain devotees about their characteristics. The Bhakta Mahima, the glories of the Bhaktas, of Gaura Bhaktas. Lord has so many mouths, he becomes so happy to glorify. Like Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya himself, he narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri in Ramuna. When they were visiting Ramuna on the way to Puri, after he took sannyas. So he narrated the story of the Kshira Chor Gopinath. Kshir Chor Gopinath. Kshir, here in Vrindavan, Kshir, in Bengal, Kshir, Bengali, Kshir, because it's, and Chora means stealing, Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. It's in Ramuna, there's a Gopinath deity. In Orissa, all the deities are Gopinath. Gopi Chana Vallabha, all Gopi, even Lord Jagannath. They're all in the mood of Gopinath. So Gopinath is the main worshipable deity in Orissa. And in Remuna has this famous temple, Kshir Chor Chora Gopinath. Little tongue breaker, if it is not your language. And there Madhavendra Puri, because Madhavendra Puri, he found this, when he was here in Braj, on pilgrimage, he was a very powerful sannyasi. He never did Madhukari. He only ate whatever somebody gave him without asking. And he never asked anyone. This is very Paramahamsa kind of renunciation. It's not like our Bapas here in Vrindavan. Everyone is walking around with something, to collect some food somewhere, you know. But he was always sitting underneath the tree, chanting Harinam and meditating about Lord, Leela. Never asking anyone. One time a young boy came to him with a pot of milk. It was actually Krishna as a gopa. And he came to Madhavendra Puri part. And he brought him this milk. Madhavendra Puri was very amazed because he was never visible for the people. He was always in a hidden, secluded place. But this gopa, he found him out and he asked Madhavendra Puri Maharaj was asking from where you know that I'm here. Who sent you? So Krishna told, some villagers, ladies, they came here and they saw you and they told me there's one Baba here and he's always fasting and chanting Harinam, holy name. And so they sent me here. They gave me this pot of milk and to bring it to you. Please accept. So Madhavendra Puri accepted. But then he felt great ecstasy by drinking it. The boy, in the meantime, he left. In the night, he had a dream. The same boy appeared, and he told him, Madhavendra Puri, I'm actually hidden here in the bushes of Govardhan, near the Govindakund. Please come take me out from there. Excavate me with the villagers here. Come together and bring and install me on the top of the hill as Gopalji, Gopaldev. So it was Madhavendra Puri who actually established the Gopaldev worship at Govardhan. Now this Gopaldev is worshipped in Nathadwar as Nataji, Sri Nataji. It's very popular deity because he always gets first class prasadam there, food preparation, nice sweets and ladus and like that offered to him. So it's very famous, this place, because of the prasadam. It's managed now by the Vallabha Acharya Sampradaya. From Rudra. Although it was established by Gaudiya, later on it came to them by Raghunath Das Goswami, handed over to the management son of Vallabhacharya. What's his name? Son of Vallabhacharya. So he took charge of this deity worship of Gopalji. But first it was handed over to Bengali Brahmanas who took up the worship. Madhavendra Puri, he arranged for Anakut ceremony and worship and reinstallation again of the Gopinath deity, who was installed 5,000 years ago by the grandson of Lord Krishna. Madhavendra Puri had again a dream, second dream, three times Lord Chaitanya narrated this story with great enthusiasm. Three times the Lord appeared in the dream, in the mind of Mother Vendrapuri. And the second time he appeared, and Gopaldev told him, I feel very hot here in Vrindavan because it's hot season. Please go to Jagannath Puri and bring me a load of chandan, of sandalwood and camphor, so that my body will cool down. So Mother Vendrapuri single-handedly, personally, he went to Jagannath Puri. It's about 1,000 kilometers or more to walk, no train, no flight, no taxi. Everything walking, and it was not easy. It was dangerous, and there was many Muslim checkpoints, tax collectors, and everyone wants to have something from you. Many are plunderers also, dacoits on the way to Bengal and to Puri, like that. So, but on the way to Puri, he came to Ramuna. There, in Ramuna, he saw this wonderful deity, Gopinathaji. And it was famous, this Amrita Keli sweets. It's a spicy sweet. It's kept in earthen pots. It's condensed milk with all kinds of spices in it, and sweet. It's very tasty. Radharani, she knew the recipe of Amrita Keli, and Krishna liked this kind of sweet very much. And Ramuna was the only place in the world, you know, where this kind of preparation was made. And Ishvara Puripad, when he took darshan of the deity, he became overwhelmed by this ecstasy by seeing the deity. And when the Puchari offered this sweet, you know, he was contemplating this sweet, and he thought, how wonderful would it be if I could taste such a sweet, so that I could prepare it and offer it to our Gopalji of Govardhan, Gopal Dev. But then he felt very bad, because you should not contemplate bhoga when it is offered to Krishna, and should not look at it. It should be covered by cloth, and the curtain should be there, so that one cannot see what is offered to Krishna. One should not contemplate bhoga. So the Maharaj felt very bad. I contemplate the bhoga. If I will contemplate after it is prasad, it is okay. But if you contemplate bhoga to enjoy it, you know, he felt very bad and he left. I will not stay in this temple. I feel so bad, you know, I'm an offender. Pashandi, I'm offending. So I'm going out. And he went to the night to the marketplace then. And he took his rest there, chanting, taking rest, secluded the place. The Puchari in the night, he got a dream. Gopinath appearing in his dream. And he told him, Puchariji, please wake up. Come immediately on the altar, because behind my on the back curtain, cloth curtain, you know, I hided some pot of this kheer, of this Amrita Keli. Please come immediately, take it and bring it to this Mother Vendrapuri, who is on the marketplace. Don't hesitate. Wake up. So then Pushari was waking up, and he thought, okay, before I go on the altar, better I take a shower, because I was already in my sleeping bag. So I take a quick shower, then put on his dress, went on the altar, and to his amazement, really, it was a pot of this kheer behind the deity's curtain, hidden by the Lord himself. Therefore, he became known as Kshira Kshora Gopinath, the thief of the kheer. Gopinath, who became known, he became glorified as the thief of his own kheer. Can imagine, Krishna has to steal his own kheer for his devotee. Not for himself, because anyway, he gets many pots of this, many cups of this kheer was every day offered to him. 12 and more pots, I think 12 pots. One time when Lord Chaitanya was there, he got all the 12 pots. He had 5 associates with him. And the Pujari, he offered them all the 12 pots. But Lord Chaitanya said, well, we cannot eat all the 12 pots. He accepted 5 for each one of them, and 7 he gave back to the Pujari. So 5 he was relishing. So this Pujari, anyway, the Pujari went to the marketplace and was calling, is here Mother Vendrapuri? Where are you? You are very fortunate. Gopinath, you know, he was stealing the kheer for you. Please come and take it. You are very fortunate. And then Mother Vendrapuri comes from his secluded place, from the marketplace, and he says, yeah, I'm here. Oh, and Pujari gave him this pot of kheer. So Mother Vendrapuri immediately offered his obeisances to that, and he was very happy, very happy. Pujari went back, and he started to eat this relish, this nectar of Amrita Keli. And not only that, he broke the whole pot, put it in his upper clothes, made a knot in it, and every day he was eating some of this clay where this Amrita Keli was in it. Because the Lord himself touched it with his own hand, hided it behind him for Mother Vendrapuri. Such great mercy. Lord Chaitanya glorified. He had 10 mouths, you know, glorifying Mother Vendrapuri's great love, his prema to Gopinath and to Gopal. So he went to Puri, and he got all these permissions from the state, because Sandal Chandan is under state control. So you need many permissions from the government and connections. And so he got all these connections and permissions, and he even got servants to carry these big loads, many kilograms, maybe 30 kgs of chandan and also of camphor. And they carried it back to Ramuna on the way to Vrindavan. So they arrived again in Ramuna. In Ramuna, Mother Vendrapuri had a third dream. The third dream. Who appeared in his dream? Gopal Dev from Vrindavan. Appeared in his dream, and he told him, my dear Puripad, you don't have to come to Vrindavan to bring me this load of chandan, because in the meantime somebody else brought a load of chandan and my body is already smeared. But nevertheless, your mission is not lost, it's not wasted. You put all this chandan that you brought from Jagannath Puri, you grind it and make paste out of it, pulp, chandan pulp, and mix it with camphor, and smear it over the body of Gopinath. Because Gopinath and me, and I, we are not different from each other. We are not different from each other. And in this way, cool down the body of Gopinath, and in this way, it's also served to me. So don't endeavor to bring this heavy load to me, because it was very dangerous. You had to go, Mother Vendrapuri would have to go through so many tax controls of Muslim, and they would confiscate maybe the sandal. But the Lord was so merciful, and he told, you don't have to bring the sandal here. You just smear it on the body of Gopinath, and in this way, I'm also served. My body will cool down, because we are not different from each other. So in this way, Mother Vendrapuri became very famous. He became very famous, but he didn't want that the fame will come to him. He actually ran away from the fame. He wanted to run away from the fame, because he knew if the people will know that Gopinath stole kheer for me, And that I'm blessed by him. Then the next morning when I'm still here, they will all come to me, you know, to get blessings and benedictions. So better I go already middle in the night. So in middle of the night he left, you know, to Jagannapuri, because he didn't want to get the fame will come to him, that the people, the mass of people will come to him. But when he came to Puri, the people already knew about, because it already spread the news without internet, without SMS and telephone. It already spread the news there. People in Puri already knew. So when he came there, already a mass of people assembled around him to want to get blessings. You know. So Mother Vendapuri became very great devotee of the Lord, of his prema. The Lord appeared three times in front of him. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated his glories. And then he also, later on, Mother Vendapuri, he had one very dear disciple, Sripad Ishwarapuri, who made many, many intimate services to his Guru Maharaj, especially in his older age, when he became invalid and could not move so good anymore. He was bedridden, so Ishwarapuri made menial service to his Guru Maharaj. And this way he got a great mercy of this intimate service, reminding his Guru Maharaj about Krishna, about devotional service, and he gave him a relief of bodily suffering. Although a pure devotee, his body is Satchitananda, he doesn't have to suffer, but he maybe accepts this kind of suffering to show to the world, even with the suffering, we can be Krishna conscious and serve Krishna and be always in Krishna consciousness. So therefore a devotee may go also to accept old age and suffering. But his disciples always relieve, want to serve the Guru Maharaj and to help him from this kind of difficulties bodily, and help him in Krishna consciousness and also in spreading Krishna consciousness. Later on, because Ishwarapuri became blessed by his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendrapuri, to become a Prema Bhakta, and he became the Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for quite some time, he was a very great scholar in Navadvip, Mayapur, Pandit. He was a Pandit, Nimai Pandit. Nimai Pandit, well, only had a taste, you know, to study grammar, Sanskrit grammar. Never anything Krishna conscious came about his lips. Although that was internally, but externally he represented himself as a scholar. And he challenged always the devotees, Mukunda Datta, the original Mukunda Datta from Gora Lila. We speak Mukunda, because we have Mukunda Dattas here, you know. We have Puchari and Kirtaniya. So, but we have the Mukunda Datta original and Lord Chaitanya's associate, who was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. He was Lord Chaitanya's contemporary. And Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, always tested him about some references from scriptures and ask him, you know the answer from this expression from Sanskrit? And then when Mukunda Datta gave the answer, then Lord Chaitanya said, wrong! This is wrong answer. He didn't accept. And in this way, he refuted many times other devotees who were also scholars in Sanskrit. He was a very good singer, kirtan singer, and Lord Chaitanya was very happy always to hear his singing in Navadvipa and also in Jagannapuri, wherever Lord Chaitanya was. Mukunda Datta, the kirtan singer, was with him. Lord Chaitanya was very happy to hear his singing. He had so much love to sing about Krishna. They were all Krishna Bhaktas. But Lord Chaitanya didn't reveal Krishna Bhakta, Krishna devotee. He didn't reveal that. He kept it secret for some time. And he told the devotees, very soon you will see, the time will come when I will become a real Krishna Bhakta, a Bhakta what you never have seen. I will show you Bhakti what the world never has seen. The time will come soon. And actually soon after that, Ishwarapuri, he came himself to Mayapur in disguise. He didn't come as a sannyasi. Nobody could recognize him that he is a sannyasi. He came in other vesha dress. And he met Advaita Acharya, he met Gadadhar Pandit, and he met also Nimai Pandit. And he wrote a book, Krishna Lila Mrita. And he wanted to show it to Lord Chaitanya, because he knew, oh, you're Lord Chaitanya, you're very famous, I came to you. Lord Chaitanya immediately recognized the greatness of Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri, he understood, although he didn't know that Lord Chaitanya's position exactly at that time, because although they're eternal associates, the Leela is covered by Yoga Maya, that nobody could recognize each other's greatness. And that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Lord, who now performs his Leela now, Sankirtan Leela, with all his eternal associates. So Sripad Ishwarapuri, he had his manuscript of his book, Krishna Leela Mrita, and he asked Nimai, oh, you're very good in Sanskrit, maybe you can help me. Maybe you can read the manuscript and tell me if I have some mistakes in it. But Lord Chaitanya said, don't tell that. A Bhakta's literature can never have mistake. Anyone who says a literature written by a pure Bhakta with his devotion and love to me, to Krishna, is a great offender. He's a Pashandi. Even if there is fault in it, in a scripture written by a pure devotee, even if you see a fault, you should not look at it. You should see it as a decoration. It's not a real fault. Because a devotee cannot make fault. He only writes out of his bhakti, out of his devotion. So Ishwarapuri felt very happy, very relieved. But he still insisted, please look, still read, and maybe you find some mistake in it. Then Lord Chaitanya went through the manuscript, and then he was looking if there is some mistake in it, and then he pointed out a mistake, you know, in a Sanskrit case, you know. They have some technological terms I don't have any mind. I'm not Sanskrit scholar. But he found out a problem with the case. And he told to Ishwarapuri, maybe the case should be changed in another case. And Ishwarapuri thought overnight about it. But then he concluded, actually the case that he originally chose is better than what Nimai Pandit chose, what he recommended to him to change the case. So he concluded he should keep this case as it is, not change it as Nimai Pandit was recommending him. So next morning, when Ishwarapuri met Nimai Pandit, he told him, sorry, I was thinking over about your recommendation to change this case, but I concluded I should not do it, because in this case, your case is also already included. So I will not change it. And then Nimai Pandit, he became very happy and he accepted the defeat. He was happy to become defeated by his own devotee, who actually became later on his guru, his own spiritual master. So soon after Ishwarapuri was in Navadvip and got the darshan of Nimai, actually the heart of Ishwarapuri became completely changed. He never could forget this darshan and this association of this beautiful boy, young scholar, Pandit Nimai. He was so attractive, golden body, with long arms, with lotus eyes, very beautifully dressed, beautiful blackish hair. So this picture never went out of his mind. So later on, soon after that, Lord Chaitanya or
Nimai Pandit, he decided, now I will go to Gaya. Gaya is the place where to perform Shraddha ceremony, Pinda, for the departed forefathers. Because his father, Jagannath Mishra, already died, he left the world. So Nimai Pandit, he thought, I will go to Gaya now to perform Shraddha for my departed father and forefathers. So he went there, accompanied by his disciples, pupils, students, you know, Sanskrit students. So he had many followers, thousands of followers. They went to Gaya. So the Gaya, there's Vishnupada. That means the footprint of Gadadhar, Vishnu, known as Pada Padma. It's a very big footprint of Lord Vishnu with the different marks in it. And this is always worshipped by the Brahmanas there, with chandan and flowers and clothes. And all kinds of worship is going on. They're worshipping this lotus foot print of Lord Vishnu, who is imprinted there in a stone in Gaya. So Lord Chaitanya went there and he offered his dandavat and his prayers to these lotus feet of the Lord. And he became completely overwhelmed of his ecstatic emotions of prema. First it became manifested there. And that spot, actually, Lord Chaitanya's first manifestation of Prema Bhakti started by taking shelter at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet in Gaya, with the pretext to worship his forefather, or his father, the Pinda, Pitri. But that was only external. Internally, he had a mission there. He wanted to now really reveal this mood of Bhakta. Perfect, supreme Bhakta, with the supreme Bhakti, what the world never has seen that up to that time. And so he came to that Vishnupad, Pada Padma print. The Brahmanas, they were all glorifying. This is the same footprint, you know, that Bali Maharaj, you know, kept on his feet. It's the same footprint that Lord Vamanadev pierced the universal shell. It is the source of the Ganga, where Ganga is coming from. And that same footprint is here now. You are very fortunate to have darshan of the Vishnupada, of the Padma lotus print of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, Lord Chaitanya became very overwhelmed, you know, by this great ecstasy to have the darshan of the Lord's footprint. And at that time, Ishvara Puripad also came to Gaya. And Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, and Ishvara Puri met again. As soon as Nimai saw Ishvara Puri, he offered his dandavat, his prayers, pranam, to this great devotee, who is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who actually received this Prema Bhakti from Madhavendra Puri. Who is actually Madhavendra Puri? He's the seed of the desire tree of Prema Bhakti, descending from Goloka, from the Kalpavriksh, Bhakti Kalpavriksh. There's a Bhakti Kalpavriksha, and Bhakti desire tree, descending from the spiritual world to this material world. And Lord Chaitanya himself was seeding this seed, a form of Madhavendra Puri. And from there, a big tree, trunk of a tree appeared with branches and sub-branches of all his Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, with all the different Gora Bhaktas, Nityananda Bhaktas, Advaita Bhaktas, Gadadhar Bhaktas. They all are descendants of these three Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON is also a branch of this tree, of this Chaitanya tree. And Lord Chaitanya became the Mali, the gardener, who is cultivating, watering the tree and protecting it from drying out. He nourished it, his Vishvambar, nourishing the Bhakti tree of the Bhakti Vriksha. So Lord Chaitanya accepted in the line of Madhavendra Puri, who was the seed of the Bhakti tree, desire tree, in the form of Shripad Ishvara Puri, he accepted initiation. So he asked for mantra, diksha, and he became initiated in the 10-syllable Gopal mantra given by Ishvara Puri. So Lord Chaitanya asked for the mantra, and Ishvara Puri told, I'm very happy to give you this mantra, I'm very honored. So he initiated him in that mantra. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya received that mantra, his ecstasy doubled 10 and 100 times. So he became completely ecstatic. And from that time on, he was not anymore the puffed up, proud pandit of Nadia. He became the most humble servitor of the bhaktas, of the devotees. And he was the only words that entered from his mouth was Krishna, as Krishna's name. And he told to his disciples, I'm very sorry, I cannot teach anymore from now on. You can all go to Navadvip now. Go back. I will now go to Mathura. I will go now to Vrindavan. Because my heart is very much yearning to go to Braj now, to Mathura, Mandala. So he sent his disciples back to Navadvip alone. But on the way, he was completely overwhelmed, always either in Vatsalya Ras, sometimes in Madhurya Ras, in Gopi's mood or Radharani's mood, sometimes in the friend's mood, Sakya, Dasya. It was always change of emotions, of Bhakti Rasas, changing from one Rasa to another. And Lord Chaitanya, because he's the reservoir of all Rasas, all Rasas are in him, he's Krishna. So all rasas are in him. Because in Madhurya Ras, all the rasas are included. Therefore, the gopis, they were in Sakya, they knew about Sakya, about Vatsali, about Dasya. So Lord Chaitanya, he was completely overwhelmed by the different kinds of rasas of the Praja Bhakti, of his devotees in Vrindavan, either in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsali, Madhurya. And on his tour, he changed always these different kinds of moods and revealed it and relished it. Crying out for Krishna in the mood of the separation. Where is Krishna? Where is the Lord of my heart? Oh my Papa, oh my Father, where are you?
Sorry, I have to drink something.
I'm almost finished. On the way, he suddenly hear a voice from the sky. And he told, Nimai, it's not the time now to go to Mathura. It's not. You will. Go, you have to go later. Stop this plan to go to Mathura. Go back to Navadvip. And later on, your wish, your desire to go to Vrindavan, to Mathura, will be fulfilled. So Lord Chaitanya, he accepted this voice from the sky, from the devas, manifesting, revealing his plan, because they understood the future of the Lord that will be known now. And Lord Chaitanya accepted this voice of the sky. And immediately changed his plan to go to Mathura, and he went back to Navadvip. And when he came to Navadvip, nobody could recognize him anymore, because he was not Nimai Pandit anymore. Now he was the Parama Bhakta, always overwhelmed with tears of ecstasy in chanting the holy name and speaking about Krishna. And all the Vaishnavas who were in Navadvip, they became overwhelmed of happiness, of joy. Oh, now finally, Nimai Pandit, he became a devotee. He reveals his Vaishnava. Because before they always thought, what a waste of time and beauty and Sanskrit knowledge, because he's not using it in the service of Krishna. So it's a waste. But then when they saw Nimai Pandit now, it is bhakti, ornaments of bhakti, ecstasies of bhakti, they became very happy. And everyone joined him, so accepted him as the leader of the Sankirtan movement. So is the Sankirtan Pita. And everyone, from that time on, the Sankirtan movement first in Navadvip started, and then it spread to Puri, then to whole South India and Western India, and ultimately all over the world. And then ultimately even all over the universe. So that's how the scriptures, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, narrating the story of Nimai Pandit, how he manifested his great love to the world as a bhakta, as a devotee of Krishna, and how he accepted initiation by Ishwarapuri, receiving mantra, Vaishnava mantra, Krishna mantra, and how his heart changed, and how he revealed his ecstatic emotions and in this way overflooded the whole world with the ocean of this prema bhakti, together with the chanting of the holy name. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Maybe any question? Question, comment? No, he had also other disciples. Madhavendra Puri had many disciples, but Ishvara Puri became the main disciple. He was blessed by and empowered by Madhavendra Puri. And even if he had one disciple, but this disciple was not foolish. He was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best of the disciples what you can a guru or a Vaishnava could have to guide, you know. And you can imagine how qualified Ishvara Puri was. How blessed he was, you know, to get such a disciple like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Ishvara Puri Pad ki.